What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Seeking Excellence. Happy New Year. Hope you had a great holiday season with your family. Technically, it's still the Christmas season, but hope you had some great time with family and friends. Hopefully, you got to rest a little bit and you feel like you're ready to tackle 2024. Today's episode is all going to be about how you can make this year, how you can make 2024 the best year of your life so far. So I'm going to be getting into some mindset stuff, into some habits, and some things you can do right now to set 2024 apart. And I'm really excited to get into this. All right, so first and foremost, I want to say thank you to our locals supporters, our Seeking Excellence local supporters. You guys make everything possible. And so very grateful for you. I want to give a huge shout out to just everyone who supported us last year with your prayers, with your encouragement, leaving us reviews, subscribing on all platforms and things like that. Really, really grateful for you and thankful for all you've done so far and excited to hopefully continue to add value to your life here in 2024. Now, I just want to give kind of a brief overview of what this year is going to look like for Seeking Excellence, so what you can expect. I think I've mentioned this a little bit before, but the first thing, I think the most primary thing, if you're listening or watching this podcast, you're probably a freaking podcast listener, and you need to know that I'm going to be dropping down to one episode per week for the foreseeable future. So something I've been doing for a long time is multiple episodes per week. I really kind of committed to just making the most content that I possibly could. And, you know, sometimes I was doing 3-4 episodes per week. And I think I learned a lot from that. I think it was very beneficial for me to be able to just kind of hone in the skills of podcasting, of what it meant to sit down in front of a camera by yourself with a microphone in a room and just talk for 30, 45 minutes or an hour. And so I think that it was useful for a time, but what I noticed is it detracted from other areas of Seeking Excellence that I want to really hit hard in 2024. And so first and foremost in that is social media for me. I think I want to see more social media growth, want to be more of a presence on social media across all platforms, from Instagram to YouTube Shorts to Facebook, even maybe LinkedIn, Twitter, and things like that. So I want to be more present there. Trying to spend more of my social media time this year actually creating content rather than consuming content. That is one of my big goals, but I also want to do a lot of writing. And so in these first 3 months of the year, I'm going to be dedicating myself to a lot of writing because I've been hoping to write a book for a long time now, speaking with publishers, making plans. But if I don't have it finished, then there's no point in making all these plans and keep talking about writing a book. And so writing is going to be a big, big focus for me, and not even just writing the book, but also writing articles, writing things that are happening and expressing my thoughts in the written word and just kind of making that more of a priority this year. And so that's kind of the outlook for Seeking Excellence for now. I'll have more episodes coming out in the liturgical season. So during Lent and Advent, I plan to post shorter content that'll be more frequent. But for these first, you know, 6 or so weeks, I'm going to be doing mostly guests, but I will have a couple solo episodes like this one, and I'll be posting those. And then after Lent, we'll go back to just kind of one episode per week, a mix of guests and solo episodes. One thing that I really hope to do with the podcast, though, with this kind of reduction in content, is to spend more time preparing for it. So like for today's episode, I have a pretty strong outline of what I want to cover. And that's something I haven't done very consistently or very well in the past. And I want to do more of that, both on the solo episodes and on guest episodes, really preparing for the guests, having things we can go through together. I want to incorporate more video content, you know, sharing my screen, getting into other video content. If you watched some of my recent episodes, you may have seen me doing that a few times. If you've been subscribed and following us on YouTube, you'll see that I do that a little bit more frequently. And so that's something I want to make a regular part of the podcast. I want to be reacting to stuff and just responding to things and addressing things with both myself and with guests that I have on the podcast. So that'll be something you'll be able to see here in the coming future. So hopefully the quality will increase, even though the quantity will decrease. That has been a goal for a long time. And then eventually would love to get back to 2-3 episodes per week. That is definitely the plan and where I like to be. You know, I like doing one solo and one guest episode per week. So that is still the kind of desired outcome, if you will. So we'll be aiming for that. But let's get into the topic for today. How can you make this year the best year of your life? You know, every year around New Year's, I get really excited. I think there's a lot of people who, you know, make New Year's resolutions and they kind of make it a big deal. And you hear this new year, new me, and people get really excited about having a new year. And then you have a group of people that kind of hate on that, right? And then we'll be like, oh, you know, all these people, the people that just clog up your gym right for the first 2 weeks of the new year. You have a lot of people who say they're going to do all these grandiose, amazing things in the year, and then they just kind of fizzle out and die out. I strive to make every year better than the year before. You're going to have natural life changes, transitions, difficulties, challenges that are going to come up that are going to make that harder than you'd like it to be, right? That necessarily aren't going to be in your favor. And that can be difficult. And we want to have plans for how we're going to kind of handle those things. Obviously, sometimes they can be really unexpected. I remember, obviously now, man, I can't believe it was 3 years ago. It's pretty crazy. 3 years ago when I tore my Achilles, like, I don't know, 15 days into the new year, right? So it just kind of shook things up and really, just kind of rocked my year. I had all these plans. It was my first full year of seeking excellence. And here I tear my Achilles, you know, 2 weeks into the year, 3 weeks into the year, whatever it was. And that has kind of been a theme, I feel like, when throughout my experience here with Seeking Excellence. I feel like this is something God has given me to do, between the podcast, writing, all these different platforms that he wants me to use my voice, my perspective, the things that he's taught me, some of my strengths and gifts that he's given to me. He wants me to, you know, utilize those for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of building the church and helping to form young adults to be their best, to fulfill their life's potential in this modern day world, right? With these modern day challenges that we face. How do we apply faith and reason to our lives? And one thing I haven't been good at doing is allowing myself to really focus on that, to really make that my main priority, because it's just so easy to do other things, right? You constantly get distracted. And I think this can be true for a lot of us. When God has given us a mission, we can allow ourselves to be distracted by other things. Emily read a great reflection to me this morning in prayer, actually, about a mother who does ministry. She's a speaker, and she wrote a reflection in a book where she was basically talking about how she was sacrificing her primary vocation as wife and mother for the sake of her ministry, right? For the sake of being on the road and speaking and impacting people's lives. And you can say, man, that's a really good thing. Why would you, how are we supposed to balance all these good things that we could do? And that's where I found myself for the last several years since I started Seeking Excellence. I've kind of felt like this is kind of my volunteer work, right? Like, I don't get paid for Seeking Excellence. Yes, we have supporters now. Pretty much all that money either gets reinvested back into Seeking Excellence or it goes to other people to help support the young families. Everybody that works for Seeking Excellence as a contractor for us we have one that just got married, or is about to get married. We have one that has several kids and then one that has one kid. So young families, we're helping support young Catholics in their family life and as they strive to live out their vocation, which is a beautiful and good thing. But I'm like, this is kind of my volunteer work. So why am I spending all of my free time volunteering for all these different efforts? And it's because they're good things to do, right? I enjoy volunteering at youth group. I enjoy coaching basketball. I enjoy a lot of things that are good for the church and good for the world and good for me and good for other people. But I realize now that I have to allow myself to prioritize this. I have to allow myself to put this first for a little while and actually make it a priority so I can actually make Seeking Excellence what it can be, or at least see what it can be. Because I think that I haven't been able to see whether or not Seeking Excellence can really succeed or not because of the fact that I've been pulled in so many different directions over the last 7 years. And so that's, ironically, when I was doing the Jen Fulweiler, I'll put this link in the show notes to the Word of the Year and Saint of the Year. If you haven't done that yet, there's a generator for free that you can do. But when I did the Word of the Year generator, my word was allow. And then my second word, because I always like to do a few of them because, you know, I think it's easier to do like three and then discern which of the three kind of fits you the most. The next one I got was foundation. And I've been talking about building the foundation of Seeking Excellence for 3.5 years now. And so that's kind of my focus for the year, is I have to allow myself to do this. And that means saying no to a lot of things, which can be difficult to do. Not something I particularly like doing. When somebody comes to me and they say, oh, we need help, we need somebody to help with this or that, I don't really like to say no. I like to be the person that they can count on and rely on to help out, no matter what the need might be. I like to be the person that sees a need and seeks to fill the need. And I'm sure you find yourself in the same way. But I want to first, just kind of prefacing these five things that we're going to get into today, what is it that you're not allowing yourself to do? What is it that in your life may have been very important to you or may be very important to you? Maybe it's your health. That's another one for me. Prioritizing going to the gym, prioritizing eating healthy, prioritizing not eating when I'm not hungry, right? That's something that I've even found myself doing sometimes. And I share these things in my life and my struggles because I think there's things that you can relate to. I hope so. Even though yours might look differently, right? Like you might not be called to start a media platform that's going to bring on different voices and create social media content, whatever. But maybe you can feel this in the way that I felt in kind of my health and fitness, where there's times where I'm like, okay, my first easy step to losing weight is to stop eating when I'm not hungry, right? And there's debates on this, right? If you listen to my episode with the Catholic nutritionist, you heard her talk about how important it is to have a really good and big breakfast. But one of the things I like to do when I'm just trying to like cut back a little bit is like, if I'm not hungry, I'm not going to eat. Because if I'm not hungry, it's a pretty clear sign that I don't need food, right? Not always, but I think you can at least start to kind of regulate and balance out for a little bit if you stop eating when you're not hungry. And so that's something I like to do. But I found myself, and not that Emily's putting like excessive pressure on me, but even Emily or my mother or somebody, you know, in my life that wants to either go out to eat or just like have a meal like normal people do three times a day. And I just feel like because they want to, and I don't want them to have to eat alone or whatever it might be, same thing can go with dessert. Same thing can go with drinking alcohol when I don't want to. And it's just like, well, I'll just do it for the other person because you don't want them to feel alone, right? You don't want them to feel like they have to do this by themselves. And so even that, right? Allow yourself this year to put yourself first, not in a selfish or self-serving kind of way, like the world will encourage you to do, but in a way that reflects what I recently read in The Soul of the Apostolate that says, we are called to love others as ourselves, but never more than ourselves. And what this means is putting your own salvation above the salvation of other people. So Soul of the Apostolate, the author is literally telling us that we have to put our own salvation above the salvation of other people. If you're supposed to put your salvation above the salvation of other people, because that is, first and foremost, you are responsible for your own soul. This is something I think we often forget in Christianity. I think a lot of niceness has infiltrated the church and allowed us to believe that it can be good for us to sacrifice our salvation for the for other people. And not just for their salvation. We sacrifice it for things much lower than that. We sacrifice our salvation for other people's happiness, for their feelings, for them not to be mad at us, for us to be perfectionists, for our reputation. Think of all the things that you put above your salvation. Now you could say, Nathan, maybe physical fitness isn't, or physical health isn't part of my salvation. I would disagree with that. I think that the whole premise of seeking excellence is that God's going to judge us, you know, at our final judgment on how we stewarded the things that he gave us. One of the things he gave us, one of the most precious things he gave us is our body. It's our mind, body, and our soul. That's our first ground. The first grounds of stewardship are your mind, body, and soul. How do you care for these things? Doesn't mean that you can always be selfish and doing the things that you want to do. Doesn't mean I should sign up to go play golf every weekend and ignore my family and count that as, you know, rigorous exercise. Doesn't mean you get ridiculous in it, but I'm not called to just be a slob. I'm not called to just be lazy. I recognize that my physical fitness and physical health directly correlates to my ability to play with my son, to do the things my wife needs me to do around the house and things like that, right? So you recognize that your vocation, both big V and little V, oftentimes requires mental, physical strength, stamina, and health. And so since you're going to be largely graded on how you live out your big V and little V vocations, then that means that these things matter. And if they matter, we ought to give them the priority and the time and the energy, the resources that they need, right? So think about your life going into this, into these five steps. We're going to think about your life as a business, right? So we want to start thinking as if we're actually a business and think about how businesses will operate, right? If you were a business setting your New Year's goals and resolutions and trying to plan for the year, how would it look? That's some of the stuff we're going to talk about. Maybe some of you have never done any business planning before and you don't work jobs where you do like quarterly goals and things like that. So we're going to work into some of that today. So my first thing to do, if you really want to crush your year, one thing that businesses do, I know that our leadership at Hallow does this, is you have to spend a substantial amount of time with your goals, okay? So I say that you should spend at least 2 hours with your goals before the year. I did this in like the second week of December. I just took a day. I had, I really appreciated this. I had like these 11 by 17 pieces of printer paper, and I just put a bunch of them out And I split it up and I just kind of brain dumped, right? You don't have to necessarily think and make everything look pretty the first time. I then went back and actually made organized and clear versions of them. And then I have them on cork boards here in my office, right behind where the camera is set up. And I can see here my Q1 2024 goals broken down into my full-time job at Hallow, into Benedictine Properties, which is our Airbnb business, seeking excellence, and then personal goals that I have. And then I can see like my January plan for creating content. I see my daily schedule, the ideal daily schedule outline that I created. I have my Seeking Excellence 2024 game plan where I have Q1, Q2, 3, and 4, and then overall goals for 2024 broken down. And so this is what I did when I was spending time with my goals. So I think you want to spend at least an hour doing this where you're going to write out what you're actually going to try to achieve in the coming year. I think some good areas to start if you're looking to create goals is, we talked mind, body, and soul already. So what are you going to do for your mind? It could be something like taking a course. I had a year where I said I was going to do like three to five master classes, right? You know, the masterclass.com. You can do some of those courses like that. Another thing that you can do that I highly, highly recommend is creating reading goals. And so you can go ahead and create reading goals of how many books you want to finish. I'm going to finish 2 books a month or even 1 book a month. I think that the bare minimum of, you know, being mediocre or like being at least on the start towards excellence is 1 book a month. I don't see how any human being can't finish a single book a month. And you can set that as a goal for 12 for the year because there could be months that are busier and things like that, whatever. And so you can still at least have the goal for 12 in a year. I don't see why any human can't read 10 to 12 books in a given year. If you do that over 10 years, that's 100 books. You're 100 books wiser. And I'm not talking about reading BS. I have a lot of people who tell me this, friends that get on me about this, people that say they listen to the podcast, oh, Nathan, I get tired of doing things and I like to read for fun. Read for fun, but then watch less TV and also read things that are going to help you to grow. I don't understand why people don't like to read books that help you. I think it's fun sometimes. I read some memoirs and biographies and things like that. I still get inspired by those. So I really don't read any like novels that I think are just pointless and entertaining. I've never thought reading was that fun. I don't think the act of bringing my eyes across a page is an enjoyable thing, or learning a story in pages rather than on a TV screen. I think that I'm going to hear a story or get an entertaining story. I'd rather see it play out. What I read for is because I think learning is very fun. I really like interesting things. I really like wrestling with ideas, learning new things. And so that's why I think that reading has to be a part of your goals. Next goal that you can set, obviously, is fitness goals. So you can create some type of fitness, health, or nutrition goal, and you can think about what you want to do. Do you want to, you know, drop, you know, several pounds? Do you want to run a 5K sometime this year? Do you want to set some weightlifting goals? I like to do a number of those different things. So set things that I'm going to try to eat more healthy. I'm going to do some type of a diet challenge, you know, do 30 days no caffeine or do 30 days no sweets and sugar and alcohol or some type of thing like that, right? Where you can set and say, I'm going to do some type of a challenge. I'm going to do something that has to do with nutrition, something that has to do with weightlifting or strength, and then something that has to do with a cardio goal. It could be, I'm going to be able to swim a certain amount in a certain period of time or bike or run or whatever it is. But I think it's good because we tend to, just like in the realm of the seven pillars, lean into our strengths. And so it's good to have goals and categories that you are not as interested in or that don't come as natural to you. The next one is professional goals. So I don't know what your profession is, but whatever it is, you should set some type of goals in it. I work in sales, so it's really easy to set targets and goals monthly, quarterly, yearly. But even if it's something else, right? I think of Seeking Excellence kind of falls under professional for me as well. And so I want to be able to speak at certain conferences or events, do a certain number of speaking engagements in the year. Even my writing goal, I kind of consider under professional. And so things like that. What are some other things that you want to do? Maybe it's a course or higher education, or maybe even just something that's a little bit more vague. Like you want to learn more about social media or about graphic design, or you want to learn about how to edit videos or whatever it might be. There's something out there that you could eventually make money on and capitalize on that you can improve on this year. That can also be wrapped up in your reading goals, right? You can also have professional books on leadership, on sales, on public speaking. I have a book that I bought, Talk Like TED, that I'm excited to read about. That's like 9 secrets from, you know, TED Talk experts and things like that. And so you can set, obviously, professional reading goals too. Next easy one is financial. I think the first and foremost financial goal we need to have is staying under a budget, keeping and maintaining a budget throughout the year. That means you have to set the budget here at the beginning of the year and then spend time throughout the year actually doing the math, calculating whatever. There's plenty of apps you can use for this that make it easier to budget. I know Mint.com has a good one. There's many others out there if you just Google like budgeting apps. And it takes time to set it up, but then it makes it really easy to kind of track and manage after that. And then the last one I think is always fun is like an adventure goal. And you can still set like social goals. There's kind of the seven pillars you can operate on there. You can set spiritual goals. I think they can be kind of difficult. Spiritual goals, I think, are better kind of as habits. And I'm going to get into more of that later. But I think like, you know, something like go to mass every Sunday or go to daily mass twice a week, that can be hard to track over the year, right? Are you going to really track somewhere if you go to 100 daily masses throughout the year? Maybe you will. I think it's kind of easier to do that as like a monthly or weekly goal where you're kind of checking in on that. So maybe you would make your annual one, like go to more daily masses or go to confession at least once a month. Something that you can kind of track over throughout the year and kind of just generally know whether or not you achieved it. I don't think that every goal has to be something you can track on a thermometer that's totally objective. I think some things can be subjective because if you actually spend time looking at your annual goals every month or at least every other month, you're going to be reminded by some of those things. And it's good to see that and be like, oh, I should go to daily mass tomorrow. And if it encourages you to do just one step in the right direction, it was worth writing down. It was worth doing. But adventure goals are something that is fun, right? So it doesn't have to be like you think might think of adventure as like going skydiving or hiking a mountain. But adventure goals can be going to a Nuggets game, going to a professional baseball game, going to a concert this year. What's something that's fun to you that you would like to do in 2024? Could be something you want to do with your significant other, maybe your spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend. But these kinds of things I think are really helpful to have as well. It's good to have fun goals. Not everything has to be so serious all the time. I know that can be how I feel and I come across, but I think it is good to have these things that are like, all right, this year we want to, you know, save up a certain amount of money. We want to go on vacation. Emily and I really want to go on vacation in 2024. And so we really didn't take one this past year. And so that's something we're looking at into seeing, figuring out what we're going to do for next year. Our ideal is to go to Mexico, but that has to, we have to hit some pretty big saving targets in order to make that happen. All right. So going again. So this is point number one, but you have to spend 2 hours with your goals. I said 1 hour just kind of brainstorming. And then the next hour, I want you to spend taking action. Right. So the next hour that you spend with your goals, and maybe you haven't done this yet, maybe you have made a list, but you haven't taken any action yet. Getting that first step out of the way is almost always the first and most difficult part of attaining any goal that you have. Say that I set this kind of physical fitness goal, but I just moved to a new city. Well, I need to sign up for the gym membership. That's what I spend part of this next hour taking action on. I set up the gym membership. You want to set a reading goal for the year. Pick out some books you're excited to read. That really helps you to get started. Emily and I, before the year started, created a shelf on our bookshelves at home. We have each have our own that sits behind our chair in our little reading corner where we put books that we want to read in 2024. And so not every time we get to see those, and it's kind of exciting. I know when I finish the one that I'm currently on, I can move on to the next one, but I'm excited to read the books that are on there. And just it's good to get excited about the goals and feel like the next step is easier, right? Whenever you can get that first big step out of the way, then it just makes it easier. Now I don't have to peruse our entire bookshelf. I already did that. Whenever I want to start a new book, I can just peruse that shelf that has, you know, 10 or 12 books on it. And I can say, okay, which one of these do I want to read next? I don't need to peruse all of Amazon. I can actually just start where I'm at with a list that I've already created for myself. Creating a nutrition plan could be a good one like that. And then the last part, this doesn't have to be part of the 2 hours. It's probably best to not be, is you want to share those with somebody else, right? So I have two accountability people in my life, two main ones. Emily is obviously first and foremost my accountability partner in all things. And so we always have like a New Year's planning meeting, preparing. We're going to do this sometime, well, either in the first week of the year or usually we'll try to do it between Christmas and New Year's as well. Sometime in there is a good time to get this done. But you want to have this where you're sharing your goals with someone. So with Emily, I'll go through and I'll share everything. My other one is Dakota. You may have heard him on the podcast before, Dakota Lane. He's a great accountability partner in my life. And we just started meeting just to talk. And we kind of give each other half of the time that we spend together. Sometime we'll talk about marriage, fatherhood, business, financial stuff. And so we just share things with each other. I share with him my physical fitness goals. So it's kind of a general thing again, but I really focus on sharing with him seeking excellence goals and priorities. So I have somebody that's really kind of holding me accountable to those things that I said I'm going to do. And so sharing them with someone is the kind of third step there. So that's part number one. How can you crush this year? Spend 2 to 3 hours with your goals, brainstorming, taking action, and sharing them with somebody who's going to hold you accountable, somebody who loves you enough to actually do that. All right, number two, what can you do to crush 2024? You need to decide what you're going to say no to this year. As I mentioned at the beginning, one of my biggest flaws in life, one of my biggest struggles throughout the years of leading Seeking Excellence and doing this mission has been that I've allowed my attention to go to so many other things. So what you need to figure out is what are you going to say no to this year? When you think about your spiritual goals, your reading goals, your fitness goals, whatever, you have to start to create a list of what are the things you're going to deny. Because every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to other things. Every time I say yes to commitment to go do one thing, I'm saying no to the millions of other things I could do with that same time and energy that I have. And so you have to think about that for your life. What are the things you're going to say no to? Are there friends in your life who are really dragging you down and not lifting you up spiritually? Are there things in your life that are leading you to overeating and being unhealthy, or things that are leading you to other sins, or things that are like ruining and impacting your relationship in a negative way? How can you say no to more things this year so you can say yes to the things that matter most to you, to the people that matter most to you? How can you actually start to prioritize the things that make you the best version of yourself and that therefore will help you to be more giving, more virtuous, and a better version of you that you give to other people? So that's something to think about. What are the things you're going to say no to this year? For me, one of them is saying no to sleeping in, along from the other things I already mentioned. I need to say no to sleeping in. Too often, I sleep in too late. Emily and I both do this, and we realize Emily woke up the other day at like 5:15 or 4:45 or something because Jordan got her up and she decided to stay up. She's a different person. Come 8 a.m., she's over the moon. She's super excited. She got all her emails cleared. She had prayed. She had read. She'd crushing it, right? And it's only 8 o'clock. That I think is like the best thing to do for me and for her. She doesn't as naturally kind of see herself as a morning person or get out of bed. But I also struggle with just making sure that I'm going to bed on time and getting up on time so I can get the things done that I need to do. I've also realized in my life that me having a plan when I wake up early is really important because I can also get up early and just like scroll Instagram for 35 minutes, which is not a good use of my time. So it could be no to sleeping in, no to hitting snooze on your alarm clock. Maybe you need to set your phone in another room and get an actual alarm clock. Maybe you need to set that alarm clock on the other side of the room. I know that's something that helps me be more successful. I sleep on our side of the bed that is next to our bathroom. And so sometimes I'll put my phone in on the bathroom sink. And if I do that, then typically while I'm in there, I'm like, well, I do have to go to the bathroom. And if I go to the bathroom, I'm not getting back in bed because I know I'm not falling back asleep. So I have to, if I make it easy for myself and I can just reach over and hit snooze, I'm going to do that probably 4 times. And so an easy way to avoid that is to put my phone in another room, ideally in the bathroom. Again, could be bad friendships, could be emotional manipulation. It could be failed boundaries. Are you saying, are you not saying no to people when and drawing boundaries in ways that you should to say, no, I don't want to do this. No, I don't have time to do this. Sometimes it's not even that you don't want to do things, but you need to just start to be willing to say, I actually don't have time to do this. That's something Emily and I need to be better at for this year because there are so many weeks in 2023 that we missed our board meetings with each other because of being drawn out to other things on Sundays. And if we're going to do other things on Sundays, we need to have it done on Saturday. And if we don't have it done on Saturday or Sunday, then we need to make sure that we're making time for it and replacing that time for the board meeting because our weeks go a whole lot better when we're actually having our board meetings. Okay. So yeah, just a reminder, sometimes you have to say no to the good in order to get to the great. If you're serious about being great in your life, then this is the year to start to make some of those changes. This is the year to start making some of those gradual changes where you're putting up some border walls in your life. You're setting up some boundaries within yourself, within your relationships, within your professional life that allow you to truly flourish as a person. And so when we say no to the good, we have to still choose the great. You can say no to the good and go choose the bad. Right? This is something I see, I think a lot of people fall into. People that do get asked to volunteer and help out with things, and then instead they just go screw off or get too drunk or whatever it is, instead of doing something worthwhile and good with their time. That happens. Not everybody out here, and you might be one of these people that is not ignoring the good for the sake of the, or ignoring the great for the sake of the good. You're ignoring the good and the great for the sake of the bad. And so if we're doing that, let's start to make steps and take steps in the right direction to make progress in getting to the good so we can eventually get to the great. All right, number three, The third thing you can do to make 2024 the best year of your life so far is setting up check-ins and accountability. One of the biggest things people fail when they set yearly goals is they set an annual goal and they look at it. They set it in January and they look at it again in December. And that's not the way it works. You cannot sit here and create goals that you're not going to look at throughout the year. You have to have check-ins with these things. One of my favorite things, I told you about my cork boards that I have behind the camera here in my office. And I love putting my annual goals up there so I can look at them. So I see one, I have another one that's over here by the door of my office. And I see that every day I come and go and I get to see my goals for the year and I get to have progress on those things. And then you have a tracking system, right? Because again, if I'm going to set a goal to read 20 books in 2024, I need to have a tracking system that keeps me excited and keeps me engaged. So every year I have a note in my phone that's books I've read. And I just set a new year and I go by month and I track how many books I've completed. And it's amazing how going from zero to one isn't that fun. But then once I get to like three or something like that, some months when I go four or five, I'm like, let's see how much I can get done. And then I'm really committed to that. And that enthusiasm, that momentum that I have makes it easier to say, you know what, tonight I am going to turn the TV off early and pick up my book and read instead of just watching The Office for another hour and a half. And so having that weekly check in with yourself, the board meetings, like I said, Emily and I do every week, try to have a bigger one once a month, but it doesn't have to be necessarily with your spouse. If you're not married, you can do this with a friend or a roommate. You can also just do it in prayer. You can just spend time with God where you're checking in and you're thinking about, all right, Lord, this is what I set out for the year. This is what I felt like you called me to this year. Is this what you want me to prioritize? How am I, you know, doing on this? I'm grateful for the times that you've given me the grace, or I'm grateful for the times I cooperate with the grace you've given me to actually do what you've asked me to do. And I'm sorry for the times that I failed. Help me to focus more this week and asking the Holy Spirit to guide you as you set plans for your coming week, for your coming month. That kind of goes in with number four. And that's, if you want to make 2024 the best year of your life, you need to establish a weekly holy hour. You need to have at least 1 hour per week. There's 168 hours in a week. I'm asking you to give me one of them. And I'm not asking you to give it to me. I'm asking you to give it to the Lord. You need to spend 1 hour a week with God. Ideally, we would do this in adoration. If we can't do it in adoration, we should do it in a church with a tabernacle. If you can't do it in a church with a tabernacle, you can do it on your own. You can do it in your own way, at home or whatever that may be. But we need to have a weekly holy hour. Again, if you can't do this accountability stuff with a spouse or a friend, the holy hour is the best place to do it. This is the best place to plan your week, regardless of even if you are sharing with an accountability partner, your goals, your progress, and reflecting and things like that. This is still a great place to do that reflection, to start with some examine, you know, do an examination of conscience. Think about your last day, your last week, your last month. How am I doing? Go through your different roles that you play. Are you being a good brother or sister? Are you being a good spouse? Are you being a good father or mother? Are you being a good coworker? Are you being a good subordinate at work? Are you being a good volunteer at church? Are you being, you know, you can think about all these different roles that you play in your life and kind of just give yourself like a rough grade on some of them and think about, how am I doing? Am I being a good friend? Who are some people that could use my encouragement, my love this week, my time and my attention, and even some of my resources? Who could I surprise with a nice little gift, right? When we spend time actually thinking about these things, this is how we crush life, right? This is how we actually become an excellent human being that people really love, admire, and respect, and that most importantly makes a huge impact and change in the lives of other people. If you want to be a positive impact player in the lives of other people, this type of intentionality is really important to stop and reflect and think about your life and think about how you're impacting other people around you, or not even, you know, attempting to impact the other people around you. Maybe you're being, you know, inactive in people's lives, and this is a great place to think about that and a great place to change it. All right. So other things you can do in the holy hour, expressing your gratitude to God. If you want to have a more positive attitude, if you feel like you're negative, spend time every day in a gratitude journal. Spend time thinking about what you're grateful for. You can't be grateful and negative at the same time. You also can't be ungrateful and joyful at the same time. Those two things will always come together. And so people who experience sadness consistently, who find themselves just really struggling with life, I often encourage them, you need to start being more grateful and to think about just spending time thinking about the small things you're grateful for today. I had a really great lunch today. My wife packed me lunch today. The weather was nice today. I'm grateful for my car. I really like driving my car. I'm grateful for this podcast I got to listen to today. I'm grateful for the time I got to spend in my prayer, or that God was present with me in my prayer time. There's endless things that you can be grateful for if you actually open your eyes and think about it. And then as you reflect back on things you're grateful for in the past, that's what's going to help you to really turn up and start thinking about things that you're, or seeing things in your life, right? You start to see more positive things. You start to see more things that you can be grateful for as you reflect on previous things that you can be thankful for. Other things that you can do, obviously, in your holy hour, you can pray the rosary. You can also do spiritual reading and Lectio Divina. So a great place, obviously, to read scripture, to do some spiritual reading, reading some Catholic classics and things like that. So this is a great place to do that if you're trying to spend an hour. I think reading in the chapel is a really good thing. Journaling can be a good thing. Just reading the Bible can be a really good thing. If you're looking on where to start, you can always start with the Gospel of John. You can start with the book of Romans. You can start with the book of James. You can start with the book of Genesis or Exodus. You can read some of these things and then just sit and reflect and just think about them. The Diary of St. Faustina is really good. The Way by St. Jose Maria Escriva. If you're looking for some thought-provoking things that can really challenge you in your spiritual life, in your prayer life, these are some great options and some things that can really be helpful in just kind of, propelling you and helping you to move along in your prayer life, right? Because sometimes it's hard. Prayer is going to be hard. Doing a holy hour when you're just getting started is difficult. It's just like going to the gym or reading or anything else that's worthwhile. The more out of practice you are, if you've never practiced it, you can't expect to be good at it. It's not going to be super fulfilling. It's not going to be super exciting, but making sure that you're spending time doing that is really, really important, because it's the most important time you're going to spend doing anything, right? It is the most important hour of your week, most important time that you have. And so more coming on the interior life and prayer and stuff like that this year, but I just wanted to hit on that. That's number four. You need to institute a weekly holy hour into your life. The fifth thing, my fifth challenge for you for this year, fifth thing you can do to make 2024 your best year yet, and I think this is going to have endless benefits for a lot of people, is you can do a no-spend month. And so I'm going to share with you the link in the description here. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm about to bring up this link from RamseySolutions.com. So I'm sure many of you know Dave Ramsey. If you know me, you know I love me some Dave Ramsey. And this is something we're doing this month. We're doing this in January, Emily and I, and we're doing this no-spend month. And so what is a no-spend month? It means no coffee shops, no eating out, no online shopping, no entertainment, no buying clothes, right? You can see here a little overview. This article is really good, I think, because it gives you some of the idea of what we're doing, right? You can still cover your basic expenses, right? You don't have to be an idiot and just like not pay your rent, but you still get food, utilities, shelter, and transportation, but basically nothing else. You can see this right here. It says no eating out, no spending on entertainment, no unnecessary gadgets, etc. And so it's really a goal of seeing like how much money can we save. You know, something we talk about a lot, and I think is a very Christian principle, is living below your means. And we want to make 2024 for us a really, really strong financial year. And so we're really striving to come pretty far below budget every month because of the fact that our goal long term is for Emily to not work at all. And so we have certain financial goals and kind of things we need to hit in order to make that happen. You don't get to just not work, right? That's not how life goes. But you can see here the benefits of a no-spend month. And this is some of the things that I think are the most important, right? Is some of these hidden benefits that you wouldn't necessarily think about. The first one they list here is you'll get a good hard look at your spending. If you haven't done a budget deep dive in a while, I highly recommend you do so. This means you go back through about 90 days of your budget and you look back to see through your credit card statements, through your debit card statements, and you say, where is my money actually going? And you evaluate, and usually you'll see you're spending like $900 a month eating out. You're spending hundreds of dollars on DoorDash or subscriptions or all kinds of things, right? You can really kind of figure it out. And this helps you to really look that over, right? And to get a deeper look at what you're actually spending. And you can cut out a lot of frivolous spending that you're really not even benefiting from. You'll stop emotional spending. This is one I'm really looking forward to. I need kind of some shock therapy with this. I need kind of to go cold turkey. I've been getting really bad at going out to lunch on a regular basis, going down to get $7 coffees and things like that. And so I'm really looking forward, even though it's going to be tough, to making my coffee at home, to making my lunch at home, or not eating, right? And it forces you to have this extra intentionality. I think you actually have to plan and prepare for your life, but it stops you from emotional spending and just buying things because you feel like you need things that you don't actually need. It says here that you'll develop gratitude. Gratitude is always good, but since you can't buy more things, you start to get creative with the things that you do have, which does make you more grateful for the things that you have, right? Most of us have closets full of clothes, shoes, all kinds of things in our house, right? We own so much crap. And it's like, we don't need to buy new stuff to have fun. We don't need to go out and pay money to do things to have fun. We can have fun right here with the people we have before us, with the board games we have, and all the stuff that's already available to us. The fourth one they point here is they said that you'll declutter your house. I think that's really huge. If you also spend time here going through some of the things that you have and getting rid of it, and I think that one of the natural kind of fruits of this, why decluttering is a benefit of a no-spend month, is because as you stop buying new things and you're looking through all the stuff you have, you're like, man, I have too much crap, right? And I think, you know, minimalism, maybe Emily and I will do a podcast on this because it's something she's really interested in. But I just hate having, I grew up in a house, one of our flaws as a family was just kind of like hoarding. Like our garage was insane. I never saw a car parked in our garage because it was just always full of stuff. And I mean, I went back through it when we were like 20, when I was like 24, when my mom was selling our house. And I'm pretty sure my dad is a full-blown hoarder. But I went through some of this and I was like, why would anybody keep this? Right. It some of the stuff just makes no sense. And I've gone through things with people and especially the women in my life. I feel like my mom and wife always, whenever I'm going through things and they're around, I'm like, oh, I'll get rid of this. And they're like, are you sure you don't want to keep this? And I'm like, we can't keep everything. Right. Like, I don't want to just have boxes in our storage closet of crap that I just only see whenever I'm going through boxes in the storage closet. Right. Like, if it never comes out, what is the point of keeping it? And so it helps you to declutter. And when you declutter, you know, it's just so helpful for your life. It's so helpful for your heart, for clarity of mind. When there's not stuff all over the place, when you can find the important things that you need, it really helps to make everything easier. And so I highly recommend decluttering and going through some of that stuff. And then it says, lastly here, you'll take back control. So this helps you with a no-spend month, with decluttering, with all of this stuff. You're going to take back control of your financial life. And that's a huge point for some people. I know a lot of people kind of underestimate this point and think that I'm silly for talking about finances so much. But it really does reflect, you know, the way you spend your time, the way you spend your money really does reflect your priorities. And your discipline in one area really lends itself or detracts from your discipline in other areas, right? So if you're disciplined in general, a disciplined person, typically you're going to be able to see it because they're going to be in shape, they're going to be fit. They're probably somebody that's going to read more than they watch TV. They're going to be able to control their scrolling. They're going to be able to control their spending. And your life just ends up a lot better when you're a disciplined person. And so maybe discipline should be your word for the year. Should be all of our words for the year, every year. But discipline is really, really big. And you'll start to see so many awesome things. And then here on this article, again, I'll link to it. It says 13 tips for a successful no-spend month. And so I'm not going to go through those 13, but you can go through and look at those. I encourage you to do a week or a month that has 31 days. That way you give yourself that extra day, no cheat days, don't binge after the month, and just crush it. So these are the five things that I recommend you do this year if you want to have the best year of your life. One is spend several hours creating your goals for the year. Spend several hours brainstorming, taking action, and sharing them with somebody else. Number two, decide what you're going to say no to this year. You have to say no to the good if you're going to get to the great, and you also have to say no to the bad. Be sure that you're saying no to things that you should say no to. Three is set up a system for check-ins and accountability. You can't set goals in January and then just forget them for the rest of the year. You have to have monthly or weekly check-ins where you're reviewing the goals and reminding yourself why you started off on the trajectory that you started 2024 on. Number four, do a weekly holy hour. You have to spend at least an hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of God, with God, talking about your life, talking about the things that are happening, and figuring out what He's calling you to and what He's calling you away from. Number five, and the last one there, is doing a no-spend month. Have a hard reset. I recommend doing this in January, but you can really do it any time of the year. This will allow you to reset your finances, get control of your life again, and become more disciplined, which will help you in every area of your life. All right. Thank you so much for joining me today. This has been awesome getting to chat with you. I hope that you enjoyed this. If you have any feedback on this episode today, would love to hear it. If you're going to do a no-spend month, please hit me up about it. I would love to hear your experience and what you learned. any fears that you have going into it. I want to hear from you. So shoot me a message on Instagram at Nathan Crankfield, or you can send me an email, nathan@thosewhoseek.org. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to our YouTube channel where you'll be able to find this video and you can share this video with somebody else. As always, I recommend sharing with your accountability partner if you have one, or if you have somebody that you'd like to be your accountability partner, this can be a great episode to share with them. Thank you so much. I hope you're excited for this year. It's going to be an amazing year, but it's going to only be as amazing as you make it. So keep that in mind. You control so much of your life, and you have to take control of a lot of your life. And it can be intimidating. It can be daunting at times, but the level of intentionality, courage, and ownership you take into this year will result in how much, you know, joy and positive experience you're going to have when you're reflecting on this year in December. All right. God bless you. Continue to fight hard and be your best.